and welcome to Ready for the Right Guy 5. I'm so happy that you've decided to join us at the beginning of this brand new year, filled with brand new possibilities. And I'm so excited to be welcoming back today a returning guest. I know many of you will be familiar with him and his work, and that is the wonderful Larry Michael. Welcome, Larry.
Hello, hello. Hi.
Glad to be here. So happy to have you back.
Yeah, and I can't believe it's December. This is crazy.
Yeah, well, and by the time people are listening to this, it's January.
Oh my gosh.
That's all right. So Larry, before we jump right into what I know is going to be a really great conversation, I know so many of the women here are familiar with you and your work, but I just want to give just a brief introduction before we dive in. Sound good?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Larry Michael is also known as the Love Shepherd and is the founder of the School of Genetic Energetics, a master ERP, and the host of the Larry Love Show. He's a breakthrough relationship coach, author, trainer, speaker, and producer. As the founder and voice of the4answers.com, he's brought to the world the only scientifically proven online compatibility system that unlocks the mysteries and reveals the true motivations behind our actions, from devastating emotional upsets to our most joyous and blissful experiences. Larry dedicates his life to creating possibility for all of us to live in courageous intimacy, in deep connectivity, and in our full loving expression. So welcome once again, Larry.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's great to be here.
And I'm really excited about our conversation today because I know that your work is continually growing and evolving, and you're into some new explorations with your own work that I think you're going to share some things about with us today. So I'm excited about hearing about some of the new things you've been doing, as well as some of the tried and true things. So
I like tried and true. That's good.
Tried and true. Added a D there. So I know we titled the interview The Dance, and maybe you can tell us first of all why we're calling it The Dance, and then share with us a little bit about some of the things that you're up to right now, some of the areas of your work that you're exploring that are kind of new and fresh.
Thank you. I'll do that. I call it The Dance because, oh gosh, for so many reasons, but I think the primary reason is that we're constantly in a dance between the present and the past and the future. And we're constantly in a dance between love, which is really a life force, not a thing, not an objection or objective, but a sense of a piece of how we survive as human beings. And then all the stuff that goes on around us. And you know, we can't divorce ourselves from either. We're living. We got up this morning. We did the most unconditionally loving thing we could do. We decided to get out of bed and live another day. And then we go into our day and everything starts bombarding us. How soon do I have to get to work? What am I going to wear? How does my hair look? Am I feeling good? What am I going to do for lunch? Where, you know, you've all the things that come up in our day. And that's stuff. And I actually call it shit, to be honest with you, because there's good shit and bad shit, but there's lots of it, right? Mm-hmm. And those are things that we have to navigate. But in the process of navigating all of that, we oftentimes forget who our best dance partner is, which is ourself, right? Which is this beautiful, magnificent heart, unbroken being that we are. And so I'm not saying that we need to divorce all these obligations and all these things that come up during the day, but we need to constantly be in a dance with it, because if we lose sight of the true heart and the powerful, beautiful being that we are, then the rest of it imposes all kinds of stress and issues and challenges and projections that get in the way of us really experiencing the joyful, creative, inspiring life that's possible. So it's a dance, and we're constantly dancing. And for those people out there that say, I'm not a good dancer, you know, and they're thinking about on the dance floor, we're actually all dancing all the time. And what I'm inviting us to do is become really great dancers with our environment while we keep a strong hold onto the source of what keeps us alive and excited and joyful and desiring of connection in our life.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's a lot there, isn't there? There's a lot there to discuss.
There is. I mean, this, I get to this place, and you know, my primary work is genetic energetics.
Right.
And what has pushed me through that work is getting out of our stories, out of places where there's been blame or shame or guilt or resentment or judgment, all of these things that really get in the way of us showing up and being fully present. And the more work I do with clients and on a larger scale in my writing, I'm discovering that it's impossible. In fact, we shouldn't even be trying to divorce ourselves from those things in life that we either impose on ourselves or other people impose on us, because that's living, right? We have to navigate a whole variety of things to excel in business, to raise our children, to care for our beloveds or be with our beloveds or show up for our beloveds. But we also have to take care of ourselves, and that requires being really, really present. And, you know, so if it requires us to spend time to figure out how to get rid of any resentment or blame or shame that we're holding on to or any guilt that we're carrying, then we have to do it, right? And it doesn't all have to happen right now, but when it does happen, when we get rid of all the stuff, all the shit, excuse my, I hope no one's offended by that. But when we get rid of all that, then we get to just show up and be in this place where the life force that keeps us beautifully alive and pumping and inspired to grow and create omits itself and shares all the time. And you know, for the women that really are looking for, how do I go about this? I've had so much difficulty in relationships. I've had this bad experience, and I had this great one, but it didn't last. And, you know, that they're kind of looking back at their history. For those women that think that, what's really possible or is anything possible, I'm going to say everything is possible. But what's most possible is the fact that you, like I said earlier, you chose to get out of bed this morning. That was unconditionally loving beyond anything else that you could ever imagine. If you could stay connected to that sense of desire to live right there, right? And realize that that's a huge gift that you do, and it comes from love, pure, unadulterated, undefined, but pure life force of love, then, you know, in that moment, you can kind of relax and go, I'm not just okay. I'm fabulous. I'm divine. I'm capable of anything. And when I get in touch with what I really, truly love in life, I'm a magnet to people that will want to be there with me, not just men, but friends, business, whatever. We'll magnetize that into our lives. And, you know, I don't want that to sound complicated. There are lots of little complications we can create, but it actually is quite simple. It's quite simple, and you do it every day, but then all that other stuff comes in and gets in the way. So when we can just let go of the shit, we get to be really healthy, because we are. We're not broken. You know, we might not like this blemish, or we might not like the fact that, I could be stronger, or I could have more energy. We might not like a lot of the physical conditions that we're in. We may not like particularly the job we're in. We may think, gosh, you know, I really could do better. Well, great. That's work we can do. That's part of its, you know, of really taking on life and building and growing with it. But let's not take the love equation and dismiss it by pulling all those other things in and imposing on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, there's so much here. There's so much we could talk about. One thing that really stands out is this idea of being present, because I do think this stuff from the past or thinking so much about the future can cause us not to be present when it comes to even being on a date or even having a conversation with someone. The things, the shame, the guilt, the seemingly failed relationships, the disappointments, the heartache, those kinds of things can be somewhere in the background, even if they're on an unconscious level sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can be projecting perhaps something from the past even into the present, or we can be looking beyond the mark and kind of overanalyzing to the point that the mind is just taking over and we're like, could this be my guy? Is this my guy? Do I like him? Does he like me? Does my hair look this way? Is he attracted to me? Am I attracted to him? And it makes it so difficult to even form a connection with all that stuff going on. Yeah, so I think that's just a little piece of what you're talking about. It's just a little piece, but it applies to dating and love and romance.
It totally applies to dating, and it applies to actually all of our relationships, but more than anything, it applies to romance. I think when I think about all my different clients that I've worked with, they may have challenges communicating with each other, or they may have some things that they just don't feel like they're on the same page with their beloved. And there, you know, you can do work around that, but the pieces that really get in the way are the projections, are the, you know, the expectations that are so huge that you could never meet them, right? Mm-hmm. Or the fears that come from, I had this horrible experience in the past, I don't want to have it again, you know? And I don't blame anybody for not wanting to experience something that was traumatic or difficult in the past. Not at all. In fact, the thing to do with that is to look at it and go, what about that was a gift? And what about that is something that I know clearly now better than ever before what I want in the future. And to be asking for those things. I mean, when we make a request, and a lot of us make requests what we want in our life. I want to be wealthier. I want to be happier. I want a loving person. But, you know, everything I just said was a very positive statement. But what I hear most people do is go, I don't want to be broke. You know, I don't want to be out of money. I don't want to have someone who cheats on me. It's all they're like talking about what they want now and in the future based on what they don't want to ever experience again from the past. And that's a trap. And it's a disastrous, totally disastrous way to go in any of your communication, because you're guaranteed to get exactly what you ask, what you say you don't want. You say to the universe, I don't want a man that cheats on you. I guarantee the universe is going, shit, here he is. I'm going to give them to you again, because all the universe hears is a man who cheats, right? And you're going to keep getting that person until you finally learn to ask for what you want. I want a genuine, authentic, high integrity man that really loves me, who can commit to me. Doesn't that feel a lot better? I mean, mm-hmm. Really, I can get behind that one, right?
It also sounds based in faith and in possibility instead of coming from a place of fear. It's when fear or scarcity, when you're saying, I don't want this or I don't want that, I don't want a man who cheats on me, that sounds fear-based and based in scarcity, and like there's some underlying belief that you might not be worthy of that. That's how it sounds. So not only is it from an energetic standpoint so important, it even sounds different, and it even, as you said those things, it even reflects differently.
Oh, it totally does. And you know, and I mean I can really appreciate where a lot of men and women both come from when they've had a challenging experience in the past. They don't want to experience it again. Mm-hmm. You know? None of us do. Like, you know, if let's look at it on just a physical thing. If I break my arm, I definitely don't want to break my arm again. It was no fun, right, to have a broken arm. It had to heal. I had to go through all that. But if I go back out and I start using my body and I'm constantly thinking about, I don't want to break this arm again. I don't want to break this arm. You know what? I'm going to re-injure it. And, you know, that's how a lot of chronic pain happens. So that's just on the physical level. Now, we go into the emotional space, and you can just amplify that times 1,000, right? Because we just want to look at what it is we truly want. And ultimately, if we can just drop into who we are and ask, you know, how do I want to live? What kind of relationship do I want? What do I love the most to do? You know, if you love reading or hiking or going to movies or spending time in nature, or getting together with friends, and you can really define the kind of connections that are so valuable for you, be that person, right? Just, you don't even have to ask. You can just be that person. Whether you're at a party or you're out in nature, you can be the person that loves nature. And by being that person, guess what kind of decisions you're going to make? You're going to go out in nature. And guess who you might meet there on the trail? The love of your life, you know? You may bump into them while you're just looking around someday. And then the only invitation I have for you is be aware, because they will show up, right? They will be there. They'll show up for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're being that person. And, you know, that's to do that. The only difficulty, the only challenge that's in the way is getting rid of all of the stuff that's happened. And really realize that, you know, the trauma you had, the horrific experience you may have had in the past, or the uncomfortable experience you may have had in the past, it's not happening right now. It's not here now. It's not here in this moment. If you're thinking about it, all you're doing is bringing it here. But it's not happening right now. It's not happening while you and I are talking. You know, at this moment in time, the only thing that's real is this heart that's beating and this conversation that's happening and the interaction that we're having and our intention to give or receive, right? Mm-hmm. That's what's happening now. And it's so easy to be there. It's much more work to deal with all the other stuff. It's a whole lot more work to take a look at a man and go, gosh, you know, I wonder if he's going to want to be a good father. Now, you just met him. How could you possibly know, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is going to be the next love of my life. Well, if you're spending time being in that place of curiosity, you're not present. You're already projecting into the future. Why don't you instead just be inquisitive, be in an inquiry mode, drop into the present and discover now what's true, because that's how you're going to have the best understanding and the best certainty if the man or the friend or whoever you're spending time with is someone that you really want to continue to deeply connect with. You're going to know it. You're going to feel it right here. And don't look for chemistry, by the way. You know, this is a side note. If you're looking for chemistry to be all pumped up by all these brain chemicals, stop that. Stop that right now, because that's not the answer. That's not the solution. And, you know, Michelle, you and I have talked about chemistry before, and the typology system I work with defines chemistry for people and lets you know who you're going to have it with or not have it with. But at the end of the day, what it's really saying is respect chemistry, be aware of it. But boy, don't base your relationships on it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think chemistry is kind of like fool's gold. Chemistry can appear like it's real love and can fool people into thinking they're in love in their minds, because those hormones are kind of overriding everything else. And so it can kind of appear to be the real thing faster than it really can be even possible, because no matter what, it takes time to get to know someone and to really explore if you have enough there for there to be that compatibility. So it can be like fool's gold. And well,
it absolutely is. I mean, chemistry, I mean, let's just get scientific about it. It's six brain chemicals, six neurotransmitters: oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, testosterone, norepinephrine, PEA. And there's actually a couple more, but they all get elevated. When they get elevated, we're putting on rose-colored glasses. I mean, it's crazy. Here, I think you've seen me do this before.
I know, I love the glasses.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we look like, right? And right. Everything just looks, oh, it's so great, and it feels so good. It's like it's a wonderful hug, right?
Right.
And it's fun, but it's crazy-making. So, you know, what I don't want to tell people that they shouldn't want chemistry, because it's really lovely when all those neurotransmitters go off. But when they go off and when they really plunge forward quick in the beginning, we don't have all of our reasoning capability. In fact, we have very little, right?
Yeah.
It just says, give me more, give me more, give me more. And it is the most addictive drug that exists, more so than any of the opiates out there. It's a very addictive drug. And it's the reason why when people get out of a relationship, sometimes they go, oh, the chemistry's gone. They got to have more of it. And so they rush right back into another relationship. It's like, the, you know, give me more of that drug. And we really need to detox, right? We need to take a break. Mm-hmm. And so your comment that you made was take your time, right? Don't look for chemistry as the key ingredient. If you find a really quality partner and it's a beautiful, romantic, and loving relationship, I guarantee you, you'll get plenty of brain chemicals to make you feel so special. Plenty. Mm-hmm. They happen. Yeah.
And this is an important piece because sometimes we think chemistry being maybe more important to men, but because I specifically work with women, I talk to women all the time, and they express how important that attraction and that chemistry is to them as well. And so it's something to just be aware of. I think we're not saying that chemistry attraction is not important. We're absolutely acknowledging that that's important. We're just saying don't make that the main thing or the thing that causes you to decide that something could be more than it is when you haven't even had the chance to really get to know someone or explore to see if there's compatibility along with that chemistry. Because I know, and you know, Larry, we've talked about this before, it can be like fool's gold. We can think that a relationship has much more going for it than it actually does if that chemistry is kind of that first and foremost piece.
No, absolutely. You know, Michelle, I was at a conference the last 6 days, and I was with a number of really brilliant people, and one of them was a relationship coach. And she said to me, I got to have chemistry. And I had run an energetic profile on her, which we're going to give everybody, you know, at the end, which I'm really excited about. And she has false attractions, which means that she's likely to be attracted to someone that may not be the easiest or best match for her, right? Mm-hmm. And she wants that chemistry. She still believes that that's a necessary ingredient. And I had to say to her, I went, you got to stop that. You got to stop looking for that at the beginning. If it never shows up over time, that means you're not really connecting deeply. But if you get a strong hit of it at the beginning, like the fool's gold you're talking about, then you're off to a start that's not very clear-headed, right? And we dismiss all kinds of things. I mean, it's so interesting. Every one of us has met someone that met a person, and within a week or 2 weeks, they're engaged and getting ready to get married, right? They don't even know each other, but they have so many of these wonderful things that are happening. They think it's their soulmate. This is the person. And wow, this is the one. Now, out of all the people who have had that experience, I know two that have lasted a long time. But all the rest of them, and there's a lot of them, it never makes it. Like 6 months later, a year later, 3 months later, they're going, what was I thinking? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reality is they really weren't thinking. It was just brain chemicals that were making all the decisions for them. So, and by the way, it's so fascinating to hear all the different things. I've met my soulmate. We're twin flames. We've met in another life. We're supposed to be here now. There's like all these crazy things that come in and justify the fact that they should be together forever. And I'm telling you, it's just chemistry most of the time. Mm-hmm. There's obviously exceptions, but most of the time, it's chemistry. And again, I don't want to say chemistry. Like you said, it's not a bad thing. It really is wonderful. With my own beloved, I have a lot of chemistry, and I love it. It's great. But I also, you know, there's times when she'll ask me a question, and I just want to go, oh, yeah, yeah, let's do it. And then I have to stop and go, wait, I really don't want to do that. I don't really want to do that. I was just saying yes because she asked me, and I love her. Right. And then I just got to go, you know, honey, I was thinking about it. I don't know why I said yes. I'm sorry. You know, and hopefully I come to my senses quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to be integrous in our decision making. We want to honor ourselves and honor our partners. And for that, we need to be all present, really like present. Mm-hmm. And it's not so difficult, but it is a dance. And yeah. It's a great dance. It's a great dance.
Well, I think it is a dance, and some in some ways, sometimes it does seem a little bit difficult to me. just because it's hard not to let the stuff from the past keep creeping back in. Even if we feel like we've released a lot of it or forgiven a lot of it, sometimes those stories or those old beliefs seem to kind of want to come back.
You know, I think that my experience with the things from the past keep showing up is because you haven't resolved them. If you have a trauma that keeps showing up, if you feel guilty about something that keeps showing up, then you have to resolve them. I mean, go back to the experience and ask, you know, what is it? You may feel guilty because you left a relationship and you think you hurt someone, right? Guilt is the surefire way to make sure you don't get what you want in your present or your future. Because what you're holding on to is this feeling that I'm not good enough, right? That I'm not worthy, because that's what guilt's having you do. Mm-hmm. But if you go back into that situation and go, did I do the best I could with the resources I had at the time? Well, the answer is probably yes. And did that person, even though they may have wanted to still be with you or whatever the situation is, did they have a benefit? Was there a benefit to them in the relationship splitting up? And most of the time there is a benefit. Was there a benefit to you and a benefit to them? There is, it's there, right? So find the quality piece, the beneficial piece, and hold on to that if you like. Turn it into something that you learn from, makes you a better person going forward, making better decisions going forward. But then you just gotta let it go. Because if you keep holding on to it, it's like you said, it will be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I get asked all the time about, you know, what do you think about relationships? Do you think that relationships should be hard work? Do you think that it's really possible to have a quality relationship? And what I tell people, and I truly believe this, I don't believe relationships are hard work. I think it's our personal work that's the hard work. It's the things that we need to do to get ourselves to our very best, you know, or as good as possible. That's the hard work. Letting go of the traumas, getting rid of the guilt, finding out why you feel resentful towards someone. There's a story there. Discovering what that story is and bust it. And it's really not that difficult to do, because for almost every story, there's an incomplete or an incorrect assumption or understanding of what happened. And, you know, you just got to get present to where you are now and look at it and go, you know what? No, that's not who I am now. And you do your personal work. When you do your personal work and then you get with another person that's also done theirs, that experience is lovely. It flows. It's beautiful. It's like going down a river together and laughing and playing. And you're going to certainly have to deal with the obstacles in the river, right? But you do it together. You make decisions together. And sometimes one person paddles this way, the other person paddles the other way, but you laugh about it, right? Mm-hmm. And you can do that because you took care of the other crap, right? You took care of yourself, your own issues. And you didn't push them on someone else. You didn't require someone else to make a change for you to be a whole person. You are whole, you know? You are, you're not broken. You may have things you might want to improve on, but you are not broken. And so, you know, if you come from that place, relationships flow, and they flow beautifully. And by the way, you may get into a relationship and go, gosh, this has been so great. And you know, I'm really clear that this isn't the direction that I want to go with you. I would rather just be friends. I don't want to be lovers. I don't want to be in a romance with you, because I'm certain that we have two different directions we're going in life. You do the tango, and you know, I like the two-step, right? You know, and it's my choice. It's your choice. I want to honor it. But you can do that from a loving place. And you know, this is how people consciously uncouple when they do. They don't do it with it's not painful. It's the shift you have to get used to, but it's joyful because you're making a decision that supports yourself and supports other at the same time. That's a beautiful thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I think, Larry, I think you're right. I think if something keeps coming back from the past, it's probably not been completed I do think for a lot of people, men and women, we're speaking specifically to women, one of the hardest things is that self-forgiveness piece of any real or perceived mistakes. I think often those are the things that are hardest for a lot of people to release and to let go of. We continually feel like we have to continue to punish ourselves or make ourselves pay for what our real or perceived sins or mistakes might have been from the past. Mm-hmm. In my experience in working with so many women, and in my own experience, my own journey, that's been one of the hardest pieces for many people, is really, really deeply forgiving ourselves for our humanness. And like you said, to recognize we were doing the very best that we knew that we could have done at the time. Because I was a disaster in relationships for many years. But as I look back on it now after all of these years of studying relationships and doing my own work and having my own breakthroughs, I can look back on that person that I was then with more compassion and say, that was the best I knew at that time. I didn't know anything better or different. Yeah. How could I done any better or made any different choices than I did?
What you're saying right now is so critically important. It is so critically important. You know, that it just, if we believe, like you do, Michelle, like you're explaining, that we do the best we can with the resources we have at any given moment. And, you know, like yourself, I can look back into my past and go, oh man, I really lacked resources for that one.
Yeah.
And I can make myself really wrong, and I can feel guilty about it, and I can feel wounded, or I can, you know, I could have any number of feelings about it that I'm still holding on to that disallow me now from having a joyful life in the present. But if I look back, I go, I didn't know better. And you could say, well, you should have known better. It doesn't matter. Don't should on yourself, right? As Tony Robbins would say, right? It won't do you any good. But you can go back and you can look at it and go, at that moment, that's all I knew. You know, you might have been explosive and angry and mean and even violent, right? And at that time, you go, God, given the circumstances, that's all I knew how to do. But you're not there now, right? And that's the key point. And so you got to give yourself a break and go, this is what life is about. We're going to make mistakes. We're always going to be able to find ways to do something better. That's what's exciting about life. That's what emergence is about. I mean, if we think we're perfect and everything is great right now and this is the way I'm going to be forever, not only is that not true, but no one's going to be interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like women out there that think I got to have all my shit together and I got to be perfect. I got to have it all. Like, I got it. That like no man's going to be interested in you because there's no, he won't feel like the interaction between the two of you is an opportunity to contribute to each other's growth. And if we don't feel like we're growing and have an opportunity to learn and continue to expand, then we're dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to find old age? There it is. And it'll start really young for some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we look at some people and they're in their 80s and they look like they're 40. We look at others that are in their 30s and they look like they're 80, you know, and it's really clear why.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this, the dance analogy applies so much here too, because I think one of the opportunities with relationships is that opportunity to continue to learn new dance steps.
Mm-hmm.
We get to continue to learn and grow and evolve, and allowing for our own humanness and the humanness of others, including the things that we didn't know back when we were maybe doing whatever it is we were doing, mm-hmm. In a previous relationship or interaction. This is the opportunity we have, is this opportunity to learn these new steps and to learn and grow. And I believe that relationships are one of the greatest teachers, one of the greatest opportunities for growth that is out there. And I think one of the qualities that I like to recommend that women look for in a potential mate is someone who is on a path of growth, who is someone who is interested in continuing to learn and grow personally, as well as within the relationship. That, I think, makes a huge difference.
Michelle, I think not only does it make a huge difference, I think it's mandatory. Like, it's mandatory. I truly believe if we're not into growth, if we're not into discovery and finding ways that we can emerge and experience new things and discover how we can show up in different ways or experience new people, if we're not there, get off the planet. Really? I mean, we have enough people to feed already, but there's just, it's like, I know that sounds just obnoxious and severe, but, and I don't, I'm just saying that you're giving up on life when you do that. And if you really want a powerful relationship that's going to remain inspiring both to you and to the man you're in a relationship with, then you got to be into growth. You've got to be. It's just mandatory. You know, I just think about the human body. You want an example of how we should show up emotionally? Think about the human body. What happens with our skin? It sheds, right? Our body in 7 months, most of the cells regenerate each other. They die and they grow, right? And we shift around. If we go live in a cold climate, our body's going to shift for it. If we live in a hot climate, our body's going to make a change for it. We're constantly, this physical being is constantly growing and learning and discovering how to experience life in every moment. So why would we stop it in here? For no good reason. That's crazy making. So, you know, your body's growing all the time. Let your mind grow. Let your emotions grow. Let your soul expand at the same time. That's, you know, how attractive is that? Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, and it reminds me of something you said early on that I just want to revisit for just a second here, Larry, where you were talking about tapping into what really lights you up or what you're really passionate about or what you're really important to you, what's really important to you. And I think that's another thing. It's kind of like being more of who you are instead of trying to be who you think someone else might want you to be, I think is such a key to attracting the right person. And you know, I've done these man panel events over the last few years and will continue to do them because the ladies love them. But one of the messages that has come through so loud and clear through interviewing all of you wonderful men, Larry being one of them, is this message that one of the things that really attracts a man to a woman is when she's kind of got that lit from within kind of feeling, vibration, energy, whatever you want to call it, going on, because she's excited, she's passionate, she's joyful about things that are important to her. And whether or not that's his thing or not, seeing that passion or that excitement or that joy is very attractive.
It's
very
super attractive. It's super attractive. And I don't think that's just a man's desire either. You know, I think that women feel the same way. I mean, how attracted are you to a guy that just doesn't have any of those ingredients?
Right.
You know, you're going to be very attractive to the man that does. It's going to be, he's going to be inspiring. That where we get messed up is when we think that, gosh, if I find the right man, I'll be whole, right? Or he can help me discover what my true purpose is, or help me be more passionate about life. Or maybe if I have kids, like if we're in a relationship and now we decide to have kids, well, the child will give me purpose. Right? And you definitely get some purpose out of having children, no question about it. But what you really want to do to give the child, what you really want to do when you raise a child, is be able to impart to them the quality of life, the qualities of life that you've discovered are so valuable and important. This is really being a great steward to a child, right? And it's so in a relationship, if we go in hoping that the other is going to make us whole or the other is going to complete us, then we're already neglecting what we need to take care of first, which is ourselves. And by the way, do you have to be perfect? No, because there's no such thing, right?
Yeah, thank heavens for that.
Yeah, you can be.
You can't be alone.
Yeah, really. I mean, I always say, if someone asks you how you're feeling, well, a friend of mine used to say this all the time. He says, you know what? Near perfect. And I loved it. And I'm a perfectionist by my genetic energetic system, which tells me I should be perfect. But I'm telling you, it's like I'm perfectly imperfect. And yeah. Which means there's always things I can learn to do better. I don't care how old I am. There's things I can learn to do better. And even when I think I've got them nailed, if I'm so certain that that's the way, then, you know, who really wants that? You know, maybe if you have an accountant, it's great to know exactly how those numbers are supposed to be. That's a technique. It's, you know, that's where you go to specialists for that kind of thing. But when you're talking about your own ability to show up, be loving, interact with people and grow, ask quality questions. Be that, have that child's mind, just that, have that really fun inquiry mind. Oh man, life doesn't get any better than that. It's blissful. It's joyful. Sex is better. Engagement's better. Dancing's better. Holding hands is better. Meeting people is better. Being by yourself is better. You know, all of those things. So, it's just the gift that you gave yourself when you woke up and decided to breathe this morning. So don't take it away by all the other things that are going on throughout the day. Acknowledge and honor them, but stay present to the fact that you chose to love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the, we might call it ironies of this, is the more comfortable we are being alone with ourselves and really enjoying ourselves and our lives, the more likely we are to actually attract and invite someone in.
Oh, it's so true. Mm-hmm. It is so true. You know, I how many times have we talked to someone that went through a breakup and they're sad, they're, you know, grieving a little bit, they're kind of missing the loss. And as soon as they like go, okay, it's gone, I got me, right? And they drop into that and they start to feel who that is. You know what happens almost instantly? Someone shows up, right? I don't think they're ever going to meet someone again. I can never meet a man like the one I had before. And, you know, when they can let all that go and just drop into themselves and what they're joyful about, what they love to do, even if it's a little teeny thing, you don't have to know everything, but know some of those things. Know how you like to enjoy your day more than anything else and go enjoy it and do it with yourself if you want. Have the personal dance. And I guarantee you're going to have lots of people tapping you on the shoulder and saying, can I join you? Please. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And they'll be magnificent men because they're going to be attracted to what you are and who you are. And as opposed to you thinking about what you need and they don't know how to show up for that one. Right. And if they think they know how to show up with that one, then they're just play acting. Oh, well, she's asking for this kind of guy, so I'm going to be that kind of guy. And then she's asking for this kind of guy, I'm going to be that kind of guy. Well, you don't know who you really have, right? So just be you and notice how you interact and what joyful things you discover with each other. That's way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been such a fun conversation. And I think there's a lot here for people to really take and explore, because I think so many of the things we've touched upon here in this conversation are so valuable. And I know you've mentioned briefly your free gift, but I wonder if you could tell us just a little bit about it. And everyone, you can get it by clicking on the link right below the audio or video you're watching or listening from.
Great, thank you. So the free gift is called a personal energetic profile. What is it? It's a typology that's going to define for you the energetic frequencies that you vibrate at. There's a harmonic between you and every person you engage in. And so this is going to tell you about how you communicate, the specifics around that, how you process information, live your life, your attention to and experience with money, how you sexually engage, who you'll have chemistry with, and a number of other personality characteristics. Now, all of these are like your blood type. This is a key important piece. You might like a lot of other typologies, from astrology to numerology to human design to DISC to personogenics, all of them. They're all great. But at the core, at the foundation, is the energetic frequencies that you vibrate at, and they stay with you through your entire life. So this typology is going to tell you what they are, so you can embrace them. So you can break any stories that you may have had in the past that someone maybe didn't get along with you because, and this is, I mean, it is like the best story buster ever. So it's please, it's my gift. And from this, you'll know how to get in touch with us. If you want to dive deeper, we are totally here for you. And our goal is for you to be able to show up in this magnificent present be the life force that is the love that you are. That's it. That's it. And everything else is joyful from there.
Thank you so much, Larry. And I can say that I've done this energetic profile with Larry. As I recall, it's been a couple of years, but as I recall, you and I were like very similar. I think we only had one difference in our, there's four lifestyle
traits. Right? Yeah. I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, we're pretty similar.
I don't remember either, but I know I have the perfectionist trait there along with you.
Yeah.
So yeah, loving and accepting ourselves for our humanness is something you and I know about quite deeply, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, you're listening to two people who probably in their life have been very, very hard on themselves. Right. And that's been, it's probably had some benefits from time to time, and it's been unhealthy. And so understanding it allows us to appreciate the way we navigate our interactions with people. And it allows us to really move in and out in a way where we can appreciate ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I recall it was pretty right on with, for me. And then I think I did it in conjunction with my husband as well. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it was very insightful. So I would encourage you all to take this opportunity and check out Larry's free gift, because I think you'll find it really interesting and fascinating. And it's been a really fun conversation, Larry. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining me and contributing. Again, I always enjoy connecting with you and enjoy what you share.
Well, thank you, Michelle. You're a rock star putting these on. I know that these summits are a lot of work, and I know a lot of people are doing them. And I mean, it's great to be invited onto them, but I love being on your summits because you ask great questions and your intentions are just stellar. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you. I graciously received that compliment. That's very nice of you to say. And we're also grateful, ladies, for all of you that have joined us, Larry and I, and for being here on this series and for being committed to your own personal learning and growth. You know, there's so many people that I think, unfortunately, go through life kind of unconscious. And to have an amazing life, it's not possible to just go unconscious. And we're taking a stand for you not only to have wonderful love in your life, but to have a wonderful life. So happy New Year. Please join us for more. And thank you once again for being here on Ready for the Right Guy. Bye-bye for now.